Hey, this is Nikki Rapp, the voice of Lily from Telltale's The Walking Dead, and you're listening to Entertainment Talk's The Walking Dead UK podcast.
Welcome to the Walking Dead UK podcast. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for the Walking Dead on AMC and Star on Disney Plus. I'm your host Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How is it going?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. This is for season 11, episode 12, The Lucky Ones. What did you think of this episode?
I enjoyed this. It went back and you got to see some of the beginnings of the connection of the Commonwealth with Alexandria and the other groups and how they're faring out in the wider world. And you're starting to get a little bit more of an idea of what may be about to cause the conflict that we saw in the flash forward in the first episode of this arc. Mm-hmm. So it introduces a little bit more. I'm not entirely convinced Maggie's doing the right thing, but I can also understand where her hesitation comes from. So, yeah, it's sort of interesting mixing all that together and getting to sort of connect rather than just being in the Commonwealth like we have for the last couple of episodes. You're now getting a bit more of that connection with the Commonwealth and what's going on in the wider world as well. So it was good to sort of check in with those characters and stuff. And, we knew this bit of the season was going to be very Commonwealth focused, but, you know, it's always good to go back and check in on the other groups as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I thought this was a pretty good episode. I still have some issues with the Eugene stuff, but I think that will sort itself out. You know, we got away from the detective noir Eugene thing, which I thought was slightly silly last week. But, it's really, really fascinating reading the comic book and then watching the show and stuff and seeing the differences, but also the similarities, because it's a remixed story. So I thought that was really good. A couple of interesting little zombie set pieces as well. You know, I always like those sorts of things. I think it's very interesting seeing what Lance is doing as well. When I was reading the comic, this same thing happens with Pamela being taken around Alexandria, but it's Rick doing. I think I mentioned this before because they have the funny conversation about the governor and all that sort of thing. In the book it's Rick that's taking her around, and I found it really interesting that it was Daryl walking around with her, but because Daryl's not quite the sort of social chatty sort of person, it was Aaron tagging along. And I was like, oh, okay. And it's also interesting that Aaron's got Rick's remix thing, which is the hand, the arm. Yeah, the hand. So I was like, huh. So what you've basically done there is you've put the character who's now the lead character of the show, which is Daryl, in that situation, but you didn't want him to directly, because they both kind of chat to her. Mm-hmm. Daryl and Aaron, obviously, get the zombie incident and stuff. So I thought that was, yeah, really interesting. I thought that was quite a smart choice.
Yeah.
Seeing the history of, like, oh, Dina, and, like, they knew her and stuff like that, which we didn't know about. That scene isn't in the book, at least not the part that I've read anyway, of like them knowing who she is and stuff. So I thought that was really interesting. The Eugene stuff seems to have cleared itself up. Looking back on it, I think it just took slightly too much time. They've kind of gotten past it now and everything's sort of sorted out, I suppose. So it's one of them things where you just sort of wait for The Walking Dead to deal with it in its own way. So I thought that was interesting. But another good episode. I'm very curious to see where they go with the Maggie stuff. That basically happens, excuse me, the same way in the comic, not like scene for scene, but she has a talk with Lance as well. It's either Lance or Pamela. They're both sort of there anyway, and same kind of thing happens. But it's interesting because in the book they haven't done obviously a flash forward. Here's Daryl at the gates, or it will be obviously a different character there. They didn't do any of that sort of thing. I don't know when the comic is. If I can't remember the comic doing any flash forwards actually, because that's basically what that was. You can still tell that type of story in a comic book. You just have to make it quite clear. But no, I found that interesting as well, seeing the two very similar things happen being done in like different ways. I thought that was really cool. Very curious to see what's going to happen with Lance, because clearly he's got different plans to Pamela, or a different idea, because she's not quite with him with everything. And you get the funny kind of strange scene with Aaron at the end. So I'm not quite sure what to make of that yet, but that's really interesting as well.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about this segment at the moment is we haven't really had an obvious big bad.
Yeah, yeah.
The closest thing we've got is Lance so far, of being the shadier of all the characters that we've seen, because clearly there is, you know, he's ambitious. There is a slightly different agenda going on with him. He's been, you know, he was at the center of the stuff with Eugene and Stephanie. Max. He's also appears to be trying to expand things with his own sort of ambition, and you know that Pamela's not entirely sold on that. So there seems to be a power struggle potentially brewing there. So that's something that could maybe bring down the Commonwealth if it goes the wrong way. So he's the closest thing we've had to a sort of big bad so far, because there's nothing else that's popped up that has been kind of, you know, an obvious, you know, Negan threat or whisperers, or there's nothing like that out there right now. So
it's more of just a sort of there might be a conspiracy building here type of villain,
yeah,
as opposed to like somebody who's an out and out threat. Mm-hmm. The other kind of fun part was in the comic book, and they sort of do mini time jumps in a way. Rick takes Pamela around each thing. Like, the sanctuary is still running, somebody else is like running that place, Oceanside is there. Takes her to the hilltop, obviously that's where she talks to Maggie and stuff, and they get to the kingdom as well, because obviously the kingdom was destroyed in the TV show. And they talk about like, there was a tiger called Shiva, and Pamela's like, somebody had a tiger?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But I think with the conversations between those characters, they're doing a good job of it in the TV show. They're also coming up with some very interesting stuff in the book, because you've got like the whole conversation of like, oh, there's this guy called the Governor, he cut my hand off, and Pamela's like, excuse me, what do you mean? And then like, oh, this kingdom place, and we used to have a tiger, and she's like, somebody had a pet tiger. She's kind of like, she's like, what's going on in these places? So that was really cool as well. So it's fascinating. It's fascinating seeing that as well, when like, oh yeah, Ezekiel's dead in this book, but he's alive in the show. But other, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's kind of cool. So yeah, I'm having a good time with that as well. And I feel like I'm reading ahead of the TV show. And I'm quite enjoying the differences. So
yeah,
see where that goes. Anyway, that's kind of our pre-talk stuff. Let's get into some housekeeping, and then we'll get into the recap. See you in a minute. Hi there, and thanks very much for listening. Today I'm here to tell you about our two different affiliate links. The first of which is our Amazon affiliate link. That's where you can shop on Amazon. We can get a small cut of what you spend, but it won't cost you anything extra. So whether you're getting a gift for somebody else or treating yourself, or maybe both depending on the occasion, we can get a small cut of what you spend, but it won't cost you extra. You can find the link to our Amazon affiliate link in your show notes. The second affiliate link for today is our Kualu affiliate link. If you want to get started with a website and a domain name of your choice, you can simply sign up with Kualu using the link in the show notes. They also have a live chat support system that's in the bottom right hand corner as well. So if you need help with getting set up, Kualu will be able to help you with that as well. The links for both of these can be found in your show notes for Kualu and the Amazon affiliate link. If you would like to get the ad-free versions of Entertainment Talks podcast and support us along the way, you can simply sign up over on our Patreon page. You can sign up either as a creator or as a patron. There's no difference there for the time being. And you can get your ad-free podcasts over there. It's a great way to support us on Entertainment Talk and to get rid of the ads and get your ad-free podcasts. You can also support Entertainment Talk on Patreon at the $3 level tier. This gets you a chance to request a review from us of your favorite TV show or film, but it's one per month, so one TV show or film review per month. It's up to you which one you want to choose. We will watch a few episodes of the TV show that you choose, or of course if it's a film, we'll just watch that film and we will review that for you on that month. And then when it gets to the next month, you can request a new TV show or a film review of your choice. That's $3 level tier. That does also of course include your ad-free podcasts for the month as well. Thank you very much for listening and enjoy the rest of the show. Alright, so recently on Entertainment Talk, Man United had another game last night. It was a big, big game in the season, and we lost 1-0 to Atletico Madrid. This means that Man United have been knocked out of the Champions League, and there's basically just 10 league games left now. That's it for the season. The season is, not to sound dramatic, but the season is basically over, because there's not much else to actually play for. We also won't be playing a game for 2.5 weeks. Because there's FA Cup games, and we're not in that competition either. So, because we also got knocked out of that. So, it was a very, very disappointing display last night, and we lost 1-0. So, there's that. Over on the gaming talk side of things, some football things going on there. EA, who of course makes the FIFA games, they've decided to remove Russia and the Russian national team off of the game because of obviously what's going on in the world at the moment. We talked about PlayStation VR 2. There was some new information and talk about like ventilation for the new headset and all that kind of stuff and the design. So that was fun to talk about. And we talked about PlayStation's state of play from last week. Obviously, there's going to be a new one this week, which will be tomorrow for the Hogwarts Legacy. But this one's talking about where we saw Forspoken and Ghostwire Tokyo and all those kind of games. I also gave my further impressions of Horizon Forbidden West and talked about GT7, Gran Turismo 7. So there's that episode. We're still continuing, me and Robert, with our Superman and Lois episodes. We are up to Season 2, Episode 7. That's for the CW Superheroes podcast. So we talked about that. Just for those of you that are wondering about The Flash, we're going to come back for Episode 10. Just so that they go from... So we go from Episode 6 to 10. We'll cover that set of episodes next. Because we already covered the Armageddon crossover. So there's that episode. Other United Cast games. We beat Tottenham by 3-2. Ronaldo grabbing a hat-trick. He's now the leading... What was the title again? The leading goal scorer in men, leading world goal scorer in men's football with, I think, 802 goals or something. So quite an achievement there. Unfortunately, he couldn't score yesterday. But yeah, good stuff with all that. Over on the film review side of things... I did a review for Turning Red. I gave it a must-see rating that's available to watch on Disney+. It's also at certain theatres. If you can get out to a cinema to see it, I recommend doing that. But that's available on Disney+. I really, really enjoyed that. Gave that a must-see rating. Over on the other United Cast episode, I did an episode called Who Should Stay and Who Should Go. So looking at all 35, I think, players in the team and taking a look at their ages, how good they are, when their contracts actually run out, and going through out of those players who should stay and who should go. I ended up selecting, I think it was 11 players that should go, so quite a few. But there's that episode. And what else have we got? Last week I did an episode called Top 10 Favourite Female Characters, of course, with in honour of International Women's Day last week. So that was fun to do as well. I do like doing those lists. Those are very, very good. There's the 4-1 to Man City United cast episode as well, so you can listen to that episode. There's also my Don't Skip review for The Batman, the big new DC film, which I gave a Don't Skip rating to. And that's pretty much everything we've been doing on entertainmenttalk.org. You can find us as well on your favourite podcast platforms. Again, we got the recap from Charlie Mason from TV Line, which I've edited slightly. The cold open wasn't written, so this first bit is written by me for 11-12, The Lucky Ones. So cold open, Eugene, chats to Max about the story of what happened and Mercer's involvement, as they are brother and sister. Eugene and Stephanie initially go their separate ways, and Eugene is left kind of devastated, but of course we know that they make up by the end of the episode. Yeah, what did you make of, like, because obviously we saw Eugene's side before at Alexandria and stuff, or was it, no, it was at the Hilltop, wasn't it, where he had the radio and stuff, and we saw all that side of the story. We'd never seen, like, her side with the radio thing. Turns out she kind of found the radio and she decided to use it. Mercer was unhappy about that because of, you know, safety to her and the group and everything. I thought it was a well-told part of it, just to kind of round that stuff off, you know, just to kind of be like, you know, everything's out on the table, you know, and what's his name? What's the guy's name who's leading? Lance, sorry. Yeah. With Lance kind of telling all to Eugene last week, and this is a way to just sort of, hey, we revealed Max at the end of, I guess we should actually call her Max, because that's actually her name, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, instead of Stephanie or fake Stephanie or whatever. Yeah, revealed all about Max, so this episode just kind of, hey, let's just put the rest of the story out there. I thought it was a good way to kind of just sort of finish it off. What did you think of the cold open?
Yeah, it's a good way of it's sort of interesting because it reveals the fact that Max was doing that on her own. She wasn't part of this whole conspiracy thing. She was the person on the radio he was talking to. She wasn't, like, trying to fake him out to rope him in. That was, you know, something that happened when the people showed up, you know, when that group showed up. It's then obviously been revealed that Max had been in contact with this group, and then that's when Lance stepped in and decided to put a fake Stephanie in there. Mm-hmm. But Max had nothing to do with any of that. She had just found this radio, was trying to reach out to the wider world, and sort of repaired it and happened to stumble across Eugene, and then Mercer had found out that it was her that was putting out these quote-unquote illegal broadcasts, and you know, he discovered that, and it was sort of Lance that had then come along and used that to his advantage of trying to rope this group in. But Max had nothing to do with any of it. So yeah, it is a sort of rounding off of that story, and whether Eugene and Max can sort of salvage what they had previously from those conversations, which is kind of nice and sweet. And I sort of hope that they manage to sort that out, and, you know, because I think they do get along and they make quite a sweet little couple. So, we'll see where that goes. But mm-hmm. I do wonder what the purpose was for doing that in the first place, other than to show that Lance is a bit shady, maybe. Mm.
I wanted that as well, so
I do wonder whether there's more to that story somewhere along the way, but at the moment it seems that Max had nothing to do with it. You know, she was just trying to reach out to people and, you know, happened to stumble across Eugene, and it sort of snowballed from there when Lance found out. So Interesting sort of tie that up. We'll see where it goes from there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right from the start of The Lucky Ones, we could tell that Lance was going to be fighting an uphill battle to sell Pamela on his idea. There's enough to do at home, she argued, because you've got a massive community at home, without having to worry about a couple of small communities in another state. There is a lot of emphasis on it takes us a couple of days to go between one of these communities and our Commonwealth. Because I'm still not quite sure what the distance is between like Alexandria and Hilltop, but and like the other like Oceanside, which apparently is still a thing in this show, or yeah. Whatever. That kind of came out of nowhere. And you got this Rachel person in there, I think. So, and then it takes like a couple of days to go between places. They do that in the book as well, of like, we need to see if it's worth like traveling this far just for resources and stuff. But obviously, in the show, Lance has very much got the idea of you know, his whole idea of a community, which he tells Maggie very soon. So, what's more, Alexandra didn't exactly impress the governor with what a walker ambling down a street, and the revelation that former leader Dina had been bitten and had been put down. Gosh, that was back in season 6. Yeah,
just something like that. Yeah,
I think that was the first episode that we covered. Actually, it was quite a mad sort of episode. Season 6, episode 9. Been bitten and put down. Things went even worse in Oceanside. Let's talk about this Alexandria thing first. So I spoke a bit about the Daryl Aaron thing. What did you think about the choices of characters to speak to, Pamela?
It makes sense, because, I mean, Aaron's sort of become the de facto, like, leader of Alexandria. Now everybody else is, you know, either gone off to the Commonwealth or... and Maggie's back at Hilltop, so he's basically the leader of Alexandria, and he's kind of the Rick standing at this point. And he's, I love Ross McQuand. He's a great person to be able to do that. I could actually have seen him playing Rick at one point. You know, I mean, he's a good person to put in that role, I think. So he sees the benefit. He sees the benefits of working with the Commonwealth, and that I think also makes sense for him. You get this Walker breakthrough, and Lance kind of has a go at him about the fact that, hey, you could have secured it better or something. There's that. And then it becomes this apparent conversation about, if it's either all or nothing. And the connection between Pamela, who is former government, and Deanna makes sense as well, because Deanna was a former congressperson as well. I've just pulled up a map, actually, of the Walking Dead. The Commonwealth is sort of in the middle of Ohio, and whereas the rest of the places are in Virginia, which is sort of a couple of states over. So the sort of, all the other main camps, like Alexandria or Oceanside is over on the east coast. And he's actually the furthest thing away. Hilltop and Alexandria aren't that far from each other, but the Commonwealth is quite a way away. So, I'm not sure what the state in between Virginia and Ohio is. It doesn't say on this map. I'm sure if you're American, you'll know that. But yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll talk about Oceanside once I read this, because I have some questions. Things went even worse in Oceanside. Pamela loved the beach, of course, but was chagrined to learn that Rachel, I don't know if we knew this character before, wouldn't enter into the agreement if Maggie and Hilltop don't or didn't. And Maggie and Hilltop, she said, weren't going to. If Maggie says no and Oceanside walks, Lance warned Aaron, who seemed to be acting as a realtor of sorts on the deal, He said Alexandria is going to be cut off. Shortly, the Commonwealth convoy came across Maggie and some Hilltoppers fighting walkers in the road. So Oceanside. It's got even less use in the comic book, because I actually forgot that it was in the comic book until it got mentioned in this same part. It's had a very strange use in the TV show, because you kind of had, like, Tara who went there for a bit, and you had that one episode, the last time we saw Heath, where, because in that episode it was Tara met Oceanside, or she met somebody, I think it was A-Rat who was there, who's dead now, or it was some other character.
Yeah.
And she got a very clear warning of, like, don't bring your people back here, and this is when they needed guns and stuff for the war with Negan. And then she was with Heath in the episode, and obviously he disappeared, never to be seen again. And that was, like, I think that was season 7, episode 5 would be my guess, because that was about the time, wasn't it, like early season 7, when they were figuring out this Negan story arc. I think it was around about that point. But I don't really know what, apart from Ocean, because even if you take the Oceanside thing out of this episode, like, you just cut that scene out, and you simply have, I mean, I guess that the only kind of purpose to me that this has is so that somebody else in a different community can tell Pamela that, okay, if Maggie, who is in a different community, doesn't agree with your thing, then I won't. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really want to do that at Alexandria, because they were trying to impress the both of them. Hilltop is the only one left. Kingdom is destroyed. And obviously, as I said in the book at this point, the Sanctuary is still active. I don't think anybody's there in the TV show, are they? I don't think the building didn't get destroyed, did it? Like the Kingdom. Because I remember the TV show decided to have the Kingdom get flooded so that the characters would go to the Hilltop. I'm going to still put that down to, like, they thought they had too many sets or something, or
possibly,
I don't know, too many buildings to maintain or something. So it's Oceanside is sort of used as this weird thing where, okay, you have a character with a name there in Rachel. I don't remember if we've ever seen that character before, but before that, I think there was a character called Sydney or somebody like that. But Oceanside seems to be, at least in the TV show, because in the comic it's rarely used from what I remember, but in the TV show it's sort of, oh yeah, we have this other community we can just dump some dialogue into, so we're going to do that. I mean, the purpose for it worked. I don't have a problem with the scene or anything. I just, I wonder what point Oceanside will be at by the end of this show, unless it will just be something that just still is just sitting there. And I don't know. Also, didn't Luke go with somebody to Oceanside at some point? I can't even remember where Luke was supposed to have gone, because he's, like, disappeared as well. I thought he went with somebody to Oceanside about a season or two ago. I know he's busy with Fantastic Beasts, which I think is about to come out.
Right.
So, I'm guessing Luke's going to appear in 11C, maybe, because they're sort of filming now / wrapping up. I've seen some posts from some people who, you know, just like behind the scenes people who are finishing their work on Walking Dead. But anyway, what would you make of Oceanside?
Yeah, we have met Rachel a number of times before. She was in season 7, she was in season 8, she's sort of season 9, season 10, so she has popped up a number of times. In the previous season, she is basically the sort of becomes the leader, because she takes over basically running Oceanside. I get why they showed it in this, because the idea is that the Commonwealth is trying to sort of bring together all these groups of smaller communities, Alexandra being one, and, you know, there are three communities that signed that charter. If you remember, they all got them to sign this sort of defense pact charter, which was Alexandria, Hilltop, and Oceanside, and also the kingdom at the time, I think, was part of that.
Yeah.
So they all sort of signed this thing together, and when Maggie came back, she says, well, we signed the pact with Hilltop when Maggie came back, so we will do what Maggie does. So it sort of ends up with this, you know, if you just had two communities, it would have been sort of Alexandria versus Hilltop, whereas this adds a little bit more of a dimension to that of sort of, okay, well, Oceanside tied itself to Hilltop. Alexandria wants to go one way in that they want to work with the Commonwealth, whereas Oceanside's basically sat there saying, we'll do whatever Hilltop does, and Hilltop is, you know, it basically at the whim of Maggie. So yeah, it's sort of interesting. I mean, you know, that they're going back and using that community. As you say, they've not really used it a huge amount, either on the TV show or by the sound of it in the comic book.
Yeah.
But it gives them another interesting perspective, I guess, to it.
I suppose they have a beach, which is different to the rest.
Yeah, yeah. So that is a sort of different thing. As I said, looking at the map of it, it's a bit of a trek over to Oceanside. You know, everything else is sort of the north of Virginia.
And they still travel by horse and cart, so it's quite slow still.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's got cars, and Daryl's the only one with a bike. So, yeah. But no, it's just interesting seeing the way that Oceanside is kind of used. Speaking of that, I remember that thing you said that they all signed. It was like Ezekiel, all those characters. Didn't Terra sign that in the episode and then die in the same episode?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then Maggie, because Maggie was away, wasn't she? Because Enid died and that, and Henry. There's been quite a few Hilltop characters that have died now that I think about it. You had the blacksmith, you had his wife, Henry and Ben, Terra, Enid, Jesus, and Alden. They all were part of the Hilltop group at one point, and all those characters are dead now. Yeah. So, yeah. It's interesting, actually, in the comic book, they decide to do a sort of as a way of Carl sort of moving out, in quotes. He lives at the Hilltop, and Rick lives at Alexandria, sort of for a way of them, like, having Carl growing up and moving out, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, and then they have, like, a bit of a reunion at the Hilltop, so that was cool. In this part, when Pamela goes to visit Hilltop, so that's quite good. But, yeah, Oceanside got an interesting use. I didn't have any problems with the scene or anything. It was just like, oh, yeah, Oceanside is still in the show, so... anyways, moving on from that. In other developments, Ezekiel went in for a routine checkup, only to be told by Tommy that he'd be having surgery the following day, which he's obviously confused about. In no time, the former king realised that Carol had intervened on his behalf and objected. "It's cheating," he cried, before ultimately relenting and agreeing to get his tumour removed. They showed a little bit of the lump itself, didn't they? So that was interesting, but yeah, I think we're all with Carol on this, in terms of, you know, she did some fair, it wasn't violent negotiating or anything like that, it was simply exchange of wine, basically, and doing some things for Lance. Do you think this is, you know, like in Breaking Bad, where it's Gretchen Elliot, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
They offer Walter, like, money and stuff like that. And not just from him, but from other characters. He kind of wants to do everything himself. And we talked when we did the rewatch, when we've been doing the rewatch podcast about... and I'm not trying to compare Walter to Ezekiel. I think they're very different characters. And Walter's got a bit more of the sort of ego thing, where he wants to do everything himself. This is a bit of that side of Ezekiel coming out, maybe, where it was sort of, you've cheated the system for me, and I'm not entirely happy about it.
But
I think it's also because in the recent episodes, Ezekiel's kind of accepted, like, okay, I'm going to go, so I'm going to give, like, my stuff to other people. So... I guess he's not been kind of prepared for this whole, the other option, which is maybe somebody helps him and he lives and he doesn't have to just, you know, die, I suppose. What did you make of Ezekiel in these scenes?
I think there is a big difference between somebody like Walter White and Ezekiel in that, Walter's driven by pride. It's him stubbornly not wanting to accept help because his pride gets in the way. With Ezekiel, I think it is more about the fairness of it. It's you did something to bump me up that list, which means I've jumped ahead of a bunch of other people that also need help. Yeah. And potentially somebody else might die because they don't get the surgery they need. You know, the person that, because it bumps everybody else down the list by one, and the person that's at the end of that list may end up dying because of the fact that you've done something to bump me to the top. But ultimately doesn't want to die, but also has been prepared in his head for the fact that he's probably not going to make it through. So he's, like you say, he's been giving stuff away. So he's conflicted, understandably, I think, at this point, you know, because he was utterly convinced that he was probably going to end up dying from this. I mean, you know, it wasn't guaranteed and he didn't know when, but it seemed unlikely he was going to get saved. And now he's suddenly presented with this thing of, I've done something for you and, you know, got you to the top of this list so we can save you. And he's like, well, that's not really very fair on everybody else. You know, Ezekiel, despite the fact that, you know, he was running a place called the Kingdom, he's a very fair person. You know, he's always been about not, you know, everybody, you know, a fair society. And I can sort of see where he's coming from with this. But ultimately, it's a live or die situation, and he needed to be bumped up that list if he was going to live. Mm. So, you know, Carol did what Carol does. And like you say, it's not like she did anything particularly bad.
Yeah, she didn't threaten to kill anybody or anything like that.
No, she didn't kill. She didn't threaten to kill anybody. She didn't actually kill anybody. She got some wine out of her using her own initiative, and she got a bit of information for Lance, which ultimately was the right thing to do as well. Mm. So, you know, she didn't have to do anything particularly shady for that. Going down the line, if Lance comes back to her as well, it puts her in a position where maybe she can be quite useful if it turns out shady character that we kind of suspect he probably is. So, I'm still not entirely convinced Ezekiel is going to make his way all the way out of the end of the show, but we'll see. You know, even if he gets saved by this, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets saved by this and then uses the, well, I was going to die anyway sort of excuse and still ends up throwing himself on a metaphorical grenade for somebody somebody else is in trouble. So, but we'll see where we come to that. It would not surprise me if Ezekiel still ends up being dead by the end of the show.
I think he'd be quite unlucky if he survives this and then dies, because he's also skipped his comic book death. So,
well, but I think if he does, it will be something that he does out of a decision. It will be something that, you know, like jumping in front of a bullet to save Carol. Or, be something in that vein where he makes I think Ezekiel's death is likely at this point to be something where he makes an actual decision to give his life for somebody else. Because, you know, although he may have, you know, he skipped his comic book death, he's skipped potentially this death, assuming that surgery all goes fine. Assuming it goes ahead and Lance doesn't come back and stop it for some reason, but it would make sort of sense in Ezekiel's head for him to go, well, you know, I was going to die anyway. This is a way that I can pay that back. So I could sort of see that happening, potentially.
Kind of a strange thing as well, because in the beheading thing where Ezekiel dies, I forgot that Rosita died there in the book as well, because I was kind of reading the book. I was like, wait a minute, where's Rosita? I was like, oh yeah, she died on the pikes.
Yeah.
I was just trying to remember the differences. Obviously, in the show, it was Enid, Terra, Henry, and like 10 others. So there you go. We also learned from Max that she'd been about to go meet Eugene at the rail yard as planned when she'd gotten busted by her brother, Mercer. Then when Eugene had arrived at the Commonwealth, he was with another girl, of course, fake Stephanie. Do we know what her actual name was in the end?
I think they did say, but I can't remember now.
Yeah.
We'll just call her fake Stephanie for the moment.
Yeah, yeah. With her, so we get the bit of a montage flashback thing of, you know, when Max was there, basically, which we'd seen that previously. The whole scene of, like, Max looking at the two of them. So
yeah.
Eventually, he apologised for turning away from Max when she revealed herself and explained, as best he could, why he'd believed Stephanie was the woman with who he'd been having a chat with. By and by, the temperature in the room plotted, and by the time the would-be couple started discussing his novel, it was clear they would go to kiss. It was clear they go to make up, if not kiss. So everything's fine now, basically.
Yes.
It was interesting getting her side of the story in this episode, seeing the flashbacks and a bit more of her side of things. So what do you make of all this now that it's basically finished? Because he can sort of settle with Max now and forget sort of what happened before, I suppose.
Yeah. Again, this comes back to Lance's interfering, because she obviously had gotten busted by Mercer about to go out. Somehow Lance had got that information and then had set up this fake Stephanie so there must at some point have been a conversation between Mercer, Max and Lance where she'd have to confess that that's what she was doing. So whether Mercer went to Lance and said, look, this has happened. Because somehow Lance knew that information. So somewhere along the way, Max must have given up the fact that she was going to go and meet him. And, you know, she'd been saying she was somebody called Stephanie on the radio because she was being careful and didn't want to give it away. And then that gives Lance the idea to set up the fake girl. I mean, there is a little bit more in that story, I guess, but I mean, it was quite sweet, sort of Eugene's of him kind of saying, well, yeah, but because she's saying, how could you not know it was me? You know, we talked for hours, how did you not know that Stephanie wasn't me? And he's going, well, yeah, but sometimes he's basically saying, I'm not very good with women. And sometimes I have this idea in my head that there's more going on than there actually is. So I just don't see the signs, you know, and unless it's one of those things that a girl could be making like loads of passes at you and you're just like he's just completely oblivious to it. Or thinks there might be something there, but he's but isn't sure.
And because he's, or something, yeah.
Yeah, and because he has such a low opinion of himself, thinks it's false hope and doesn't want to make that mistake and make a fool of himself. So it's quite sweet, really. And I rather like that as a sort of explanation for it. And Max seems to have kind of thawed on him, and they got talking about the novel and they were talking about sort of his work on that. They seem to be getting on okay. So hopefully that's that story pretty much wrapped up.
Yeah. I think we can move on from that story, basically. Yeah. So, and focus on this seedy underbelly part of the Commonwealth, because there's clearly something going on, which we'll talk about in the feedback as well. Introductions were made, and Off and Maggie and Pamela went to talk through the governor was slick as could be with her sales pitch, She failed to sway Maggie, who noted that Pamela lived like a queen, while her community did not. A leader, she insisted, has to give her people something to look up to. Yeah, it was like that. Later, back at the Hilltop, Lance took a shot at convincing Maggie to change her mind. We could have so much more, he said. Imagine being able to pick up Herschel after a concert at the Commonwealth, take him to a doctor's appointment in Alexandria, jump into a boat at Oceanside, travelling up the coast. But in the end, Maggie stood firm. She didn't want to find out the cost of having Commonwealth support, even if that meant Diane and others leaving. Lance has got this all mapped out in his head, didn't he? Of like, hey, yeah, I'm going to... Because he's essentially talking about a functioning society, which the Commonwealth is somewhat of that.
Yeah.
With, like, jobs and stuff like that. But, yeah, like, having boat trips and concerts and dentists and all this kind of stuff. I liked Lance's angle here. It's just a case of, is he okay? judging by the looks and stuff at the end of the episode when he's talking to Aaron. And I'm not sure that he is.
No.
I'm glad Maggie's still cautious about this, and it works kind of the same way in the comic book. He doesn't give this full speech about, like, a boat trip and stuff like that, but, I mean, yeah, what he's talking about doing is essentially what their life was kind of like before, which is a day out with her son, basically. You know, concerts and dentists and things like that. I liked what Lance was saying here, definitely. And how we kind of want to end the show, I suppose, is having these characters in somewhat of a functioning society. Although Maggie's going to be walking off with Negan at some point, apparently, to go to Manhattan. I don't know what that means for the Hilltop. And I don't know how, obviously, that all goes in the book yet. So there's a few things to figure out here in terms of... Will Lance get this plan going, or is he going to turn out to be evil and have to be killed in the process? And where Maggie... Well, we know... See, that's the thing. We know where Maggie ends up now. But what does that mean for the Hilltop and the Commonwealth and stuff? So, what did you make of Lance's plans for everyone?
See, the thing is, the plan that Lance is setting out... is not wrong. I mean, it's an aspiration, surely, you know, but ultimately what the Commonwealth shows is that it is possible to have a functioning society. I mean, entirely without its issues, you know, I mean, there is a big class divide, you know, it's very heavy on their military side, but you sort of have to be in that situation. But people have something of a reasonable life there, you know, they're using money, they're being able to, you know, do jobs and work. And yes, there is a sort of very much a working class and an upper class. There is a problem with that social gap. But they're also, you know, safe comparatively to everything else. And, you know, the Commonwealth is set up so it can defend itself. And Lance's argument here is that we need to expand that. We need to basically be able to take these other communities and build them up in the same way that they built up the Commonwealth. And, I mean, he's angling to be essentially governor of these three colonies, because it's going to need somebody, you know, if you're talking about sort of current world, you're basically talking about the Commonwealth being the capital and these being, you know, him being sort of governor of the state of, you know, Alexandria, Oceanside and Hilltop. So him being sort of the senator for that, I guess, is sort of what you're looking at. So it's a power grab in some respects. Whilst you've got people like Maggie who will be still essentially be mayor of Hilltop. But ultimately, they want to try rebuild society, and that is what he's talking about. You know, that's his vision for it, is to expand and build. You know, they have one society that sort of is a concept for, we can build and it can function. Now, Maggie's point of view from this is, we've tried this, it didn't work. But what she's also failing to see is that, certainly from Pamela's point of view, they, and from Lance's, they can offer a hell of a lot more resources to be able to build that up. You know, because they have thousands and thousands of people in the Commonwealth, and they have a lot more available in terms of resources, and just human resources as well as physical, you know, being able to build stuff and, you know, that sort of thing. And ultimately, it sort of brings the question of, what do you want to do in this world? If in the world of The Walking Dead, are you just going to spend your entire life trying to survive, or are you going to build something better? And I mean, if Rick was still around, I think he would be very much on the side of sort of Aaron, of going, yeah, you know, we need to, we can't give up. We need to try and build this into something, you know, which was what they were trying to do when they signed the agreement between those colonies. So I ultimately, I don't think Lance's idea is wrong. I think he's possibly the wrong person to do it. He's doing it for the wrong reasons, because he's doing it as a power grab. He's doing it because he wants power, and that's never a good thing. You know, if you're the person that wants power, you're probably the person that shouldn't have it. So, we see this in politics all the time these days. You know, if the person that wants to, if the person that wants to be president, and, you know, that's their only goal, the person that wants to be prime minister and that's all they've ever wanted, is the not the person that you want in that job, because they don't have a clue what they're doing when they get there. So, you know, it's like people that say, I want to be famous. It's like, well, for what? You know, you don't want somebody that just wants power. You want somebody that has a vision for it and wants to be doing it because they want to better people's lives, not because they just want to be there, you know, and they want that power and control. And Lance, I think, is somebody that just wants it for the power and control, and that makes him a problem. So Maggie, I do get where she's coming from, because she's, bear in mind, you know, we had 5 years of her kind of wandering out and trying to, you know, meeting other groups and trying to make this sort of thing work. It's tricky because she's convinced that it won't work, and she's also convinced there's going to be strings attached, which, I mean, let's be honest, there probably are, because there always has been whenever they've tried anything like this. I think Pamela's probably relatively trustworthy, whereas Lance isn't. And I think it's that's more the issue here. So I get where Maggie's coming from. Ultimately, I don't think it was probably it probably wasn't the right thing to do. She could, you know, because she could have entered some sort of alliance with the Commonwealth and helped secure Hilltop and Alexandria and Oceanside, and, you know, the rejecting it, although she probably didn't know this, but rejecting it will screw over Alexandria as well. I get her reluctance to do it, but I'm not convinced it's the right thing to do either. But I
also think she just doesn't trust Lance, which is fair enough.
Yeah, so, which is understandable. I mean,
why would she? You know.
Yeah, which is understandable.
Because I don't really trust him either.
No, exactly.
Yeah. So, alone with Lance, Pamela told him that he could continue to pursue his new outposts, but if his work at the Commonwealth suffered, so if he got too busy doing it, basically, there would be consequences. We don't know what they would be, but clearly, taking it all super well. Lance walked off into a field and shot into the air to draw walkers that he could use for target practice. Was he okay? Aaron asked. A plus, he replied. A mad gleam in his eye. Guess we now know why Daryl and the troopers rolled up on Maggie and the Hilltop in the 11B premiere. Yeah, we're getting a bit more of an idea of that from this episode, I think. Mm-hmm. With that, so yeah, I'm glad that somebody found him and had a conversation with him about it, because both us as the audience watching the way he's killing these walkers and his facial expressions, I'm glad there was another character there to talk to him about that, you know. Because yeah, I mean, you got a bit of a sense that something wasn't quite okay with him before, but this whole thing here, you could tell that something's not right. Like, you just wonder, like, has he got a bunch of people kidnapped in a basement, or does he have, like, his mum as a walker tied up somewhere, or something dark like that? Because don't also forget that, is it Tyler, that guy who spoke out at the ball thing and he got himself in trouble? He clearly had concerns about what was going on, and then we saw all those posters of, like, rebelling and everything. So, yeah, something's definitely going on. I'm glad I don't quite know exactly what it is, because I haven't got to that part in the comic yet, if they do the same story in the comic book. But yeah, I think we're all with Aaron, you know. Is yeah. Lance okay? And I don't think that he is, so.
No.
And that's the end of the episode, basically. And, let's that last walker get very, very, very close to him before he shoots it. Aaron's almost giving this look of, like, there's one behind you kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, what do you make of Lance in this scene?
Yeah, I mean, clearly he's not taken this news from Pamela particularly well. I mean, she's, you know, I think Pamela's intentions are relatively pure, but she is also a politician, and there is that element to her as well. So she's putting on a pretty good front when she's talking to Maggie, but equally when she's talking to Lance, who is one of her underlings, she's like, well, you know, you can carry on doing this, but if you screw it up, it's on your head and there will be consequences. So, yeah, I don't think she's particularly evil. I just think she's a politician and comes with that. Whereas Lance, I think, is a little more unhinged. And I think he's more sort of secret police type level of, like you say, you know, we had the guy that disappeared and, you know, shouldn't have been moved without Mercer knowing, and then suddenly he's vanished, and that's a little kind of disturbing that we don't know exactly what happened to him, but we're presuming that Lance was the person that had that guy removed. So I think, as I said earlier, Lance is the one that's shaping up to be the bigger threat out of the only threat really we've seen so far to everything kind of falling apart, because it's, you could see a point where he may be the one that decides that Pamela isn't working out as leader and he tries to take over. That's potentially where I think it's possibly going. In these few scenes as well, the one other interesting thing was the change again in Daryl of his relationship with Mercer. And you saw him when they're out, you know, Mercer makes a comment about the only reason you're out of uniform is because it would look better, you know, because we're meeting your people. And Daryl's kind of gets it. And then when all the soldiers walk off and are told to fall in line, he falls in behind them and sort of waves goodbye to Maggie. And you're starting to see Daryl kind of taking to it, which is interesting. because I think he trusts Mercer as being a good person, and he understands what he needs to do to be able to stay within the Commonwealth, which is comes a little bit more to explaining that flash forward and why Daryl is leading the front of that pack. So yeah, there's been some interesting things in this episode, definitely.
I wonder where Rosita's going to stand with all of that, because she's kind of like, well, she lives next to Daryl, doesn't she? I think.
Yeah.
So I wonder where she's going to be when that scene happens. So.
Yes.
All right, that's the end of the episode. Let's get into some feedback, emails and whatnot. If you would like to send in your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, whatever you've got, you can send those to matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter, eTalkUK. There's a contact page information in your show notes. There's also a big email box on the website version of the episode that you can use as well, and a clickable email name. So there's some options there. Jacob says, last week you did some death predictions, however you didn't include any Commonwealth characters or Ezekiel. Do you think any of those will die? I remember I didn't pick any Commonwealth characters. I can't remember if we talked about Ezekiel or not. So, but yeah, sure, Ezekiel could certainly die. I thought we did mention Ezekiel, but maybe we didn't. Ezekiel certainly is near the top of that list. You could probably put, speaking of Commonwealth characters, you could probably put Lance on that list, you know, if he turns as bad as what it seems like he could. I think either Pamela or Lance will die, maybe not both of them. I feel like Sebastian's going to get killed by something stupid, probably, because he is. But the thing is with that, he's so well guarded because he's, you know, the little Joffrey of The Walking Dead. That, I don't know, like, because when he's been in dangerous situations, he's had Rosita and Daryl and Mercer near him. And even when he went for that picnic date thing, he had Mercer next to him.
Yeah.
You know, accidents can happen. So, or accidents that somebody might do on purpose. So Sebastian could certainly die from something stupid. What other Commonwealth characters are there? I mean, maybe one of the guards at one point could die. I mean, that's a bit more of a red shirt type of thing. Although they could give a name to one of the soldiers possibly, and they do something there. But no, I would probably say I think Mercer will probably be okay. But now that I've said that, it probably means he'll die. I think Lance, or Pamela, one of them to go. Wouldn't surprise me, actually, maybe, sitting here thinking about it, if Lance gets so power hungry that he gets Pamela killed or something, maybe, and just puts it down to like a tragic accident or something. But then you'd kind of have the issue of, like, I guess Sebastian would wonder what's up with that. Because that's the son and mother, isn't it? With Sebastian,
I mean,
and Pamela.
I think if they ended up getting into a situation where Lance killed Pamela, I think Lance would also kill Sebastian.
Probably, yeah.
Because that's the heir apparent, you know. I mean, that's the danger. And that guy's a complete tool. So Lance is not going to want the, you know, Lance is deputy governor. So Lance automatically should be the person to take over, but the kid is going to be a problem. So you'd probably want to get rid of both of them if you were going to go down that route. If there was a power grab, you would expect him to kill both of them, I would have thought.
I wonder what would happen if Lance, because Mercer's like somebody that's got to follow orders, right? If Lance ordered Mercer to kill one of them.
If Pamela's still around, I would imagine he wouldn't follow it. And, you know, if, in fact, even if Lance took over, I think, you know, and then was ordered to kill the son, I don't think he'd follow it. You know, whilst he's military, he's not the type of person, I don't think, that would just blindly follow orders.
Yeah, yeah. We know there's a rebellion of some kind cooking, so
yeah,
we'll have a plot to play in the power play side of things. So, but yeah, what are those two? I think if Pamela goes, you're right, Sebastian will probably get killed in the process. But we'll see. I have to see how power hungry Lance wants to get. So. Mm-hmm. That's all the Commonwealth characters really so far, apart from Yumiko's brother. But
well,
I mean doctors are never really safe on this show, are they?
No, well, there is that. I mean, there's Max as well, of course, which would be another way to stab Eugene through the heart. Yeah. To kill Max off, and yeah, also would cause a problem for Mercer as well. Mm-hmm. If Max got killed, that could set Mercer down a rebellious path. Hmm. Potentially, if it was, you know, Max got killed by something Lance did, or something Pamela did.
Hmm.
So, yeah, there is that.
Hmm. Yeah. Beth says, there are clear signs of something bad happening in the Commonwealth. There's been little nuggets of information, isn't there? Of, mm-hmm, like, characters saying certain things. Do you think this could have something to do with Daryl's turn? It depends how exactly we lead up to that scene, because we still don't... We're getting more parts to it. Obviously, we had sort of Maggie's side of she doesn't want to do this deal. But there's also got to be a bit more work done with Daryl in terms of... Okay, we're seeing a bit more of... Okay, he's kind of cool with Mercer and stuff, but... I don't completely still buy yet that Daryl would like follow all this stuff and do that. And then you've got the other part to do, which is why would he agree to be like the front person on like the threat to Hilltop? But then we know that they've both got separate spin-off shows coming up, so
yeah,
there's that part. I don't know, is that, I mean I get what you mean by Daryl's turn. That could be to do with, yeah, this whole power play thing and what's going to go on with that. But it depends how all of that is set up, how well it's set up as well. But, I mean, I don't think Daryl would be involved in a rebellion. I certainly think if it came to a situation where they had to save a bunch of the characters from the Commonwealth, so, like, if there was actual, you know, proper trouble happening there, that obviously Daryl would get involved in that and help the Alexandria people, obviously. So, like, if, you know, Carol, Judith, Ezekiel, etc., were in some kind of trouble. But I don't fully see Daryl being like, I want to kill Maggie, I'm going to turn, like, some dark side Anakin Skywalker type of thing. I don't see that happening yet. But what do you think is going on with that?
Well, the obvious thing to me will be Maggie does, I don't know what, but something Maggie does with Hilltop threatens Alexandria, which is tied to the Commonwealth. That, you know, because they are setting up, you know, Maggie is an Oceanside, are refusing to join the Commonwealth, whereas Alexandria, it looks like, is potentially going to be part of it, despite the fact that they have, you know, they said it's all or nothing. But it looks like by the end of it that Alexandria is still going to be connected to the Commonwealth. If Maggie does something which is then a threat to that, that potentially means that it is or something Lance does, because we know he's very sneaky, if there's something that Lance puts out there that makes it appear that Hilltop is a threat to the to Alexandria, because it's also a threat to the Commonwealth, then I can see that putting Daryl in the position of, well, you know, I know it's Hilltop, but it's Maggie being stubborn, and it's a major threat to Alexandria, and Alexandria is essentially his home, his original home. That's the thing he has tied to. That's, you know, so I can see in that situation why Daryl would then take the lead on leading that group up to the hilltop, because he's going to be trying to want to convince Maggie that there isn't any need for violence or for them to kind of invade. He's going to want to try and talk it down. So he's probably the most appropriate person, because if Mercer had just rolled up, you'd be like, she'd just tell him to get lost. Whereas if it's Daryl, there is a possibility that there could be a conversation there. But I suspect it's something to do with that. There is either something Hilltop and Maggie does, some decision that he makes, that she makes, causes a problem for Alexandria and the Commonwealth. And because Alexandria is involved, that's why Daryl is in that position. Or something that Lance has done to make it appear that way has put him in that position.
What I'd like to happen is Daryl is playing Lance, and this whole thing is some sort of double cross, and maybe it's like Hilltop gets some resources and Daryl's leading Lance to danger or something, and he's actually working with Maggie, and it's more of a double cross type of thing. Instead of Daryl and Lance against Maggie, it's Daryl screwing over Lance and double crossing him. That would be better, I think. That make more sense, at least at the moment, until we get to probably the end of this half of the season. So there we go. But interesting stuff is happening in the show. So yeah, We'll see how it all works out. That's it for the episode. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. As for TV, games, films, and Manchester United podcasts. So take a look at those as well. If you like what you've heard today, hopefully you did, you can support Entertainment Talk and the podcast in lots of different ways. You can either just listen to more episodes that we've done, which are available on the website and through your favourite podcast platform. Just search for Entertainment Talk. You can tell other people who you know that might be interested in the content. Just tell them about what we do and where they can find it. You can either tell them just by telling them, or you can use social media, of course, share the podcast around on those platforms. Patreon, $1, $3 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Take a look at that as well if you'd like to. David, what is happening with the TV and film news over on Geektown?
Some interesting stuff come up this week. There's a lot of trailers coming out right now. Yeah. So we've got trailers for Star Trek and Star Wars. There's been an announcement today that Kirk is going to be showing up in Strange New Worlds. It was announced last night through somebody from the Vampire Diaries. He's going to be taking on the role of Kirk in the second season of Strange New Worlds. So we've got that. There's a trailer for The Time Traveler's Wife, which is a TV adaptation of the book, which they also made a movie out of, but that's been done by Stephen Moffat. There's a trailer for Miss Marvel gone up as well, so we've got that on there. Air dates for a whole bunch of different shows, including things like The Umbrella Academy, the return date for that. Lots of trailers and bits and pieces going up on the website. There's also the Geektown Radio podcast, which of course you were on this week, where we you were sponsored by the letter S this week, and Apple TV shows. So you did sort of catch up on Servant, Severance and Suspicion, which is their new thriller, which has Kunal Nayar, Elizabeth Henstridge, Lydia West, Uma Thurman, a whole bunch of other people in it, which it's been really good. I did a little bit of review of Two Point Hospital, who have a new DLC coming out, and The Forgotten City, which is a brilliant like little time loop game set in Rome. Talked about Upload, The Witchfinder, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel finale. Talked through some of those trailers as well, and the Quantum Leap revival and the Batman movie TV spin-off thing. So lots and lots of stuff on Geektown Radio this week, which of course Geektown Radio you can find by searching for Geektown Radio on any of your favorite podcast apps, and we should pop up there. So that's episode 334 of Geektown Radio that you can find on there.
Cool, nice. And on geektown.co.uk as well.
Yes, with all that stuff.
So good stuff over there. Go and check out Geektown Radio for all of that. You can also find Bex, who's streaming basically daily over on Twitch, doing some fun PlayStation stuff with Tomb Raider and whatnot, and lots of other cool work. You can find her by searching for Trista, B-Y-T-E-S, on Twitch. and go give her a follow over there. You can also follow me on Twitch as well, eTalkUK. I'm currently streaming Horizon Forbidden West. I'm going to be continuing with my FIFA 22 career mode as well this week, so you can find those things. I'm tweeting out currently the Twitch schedule, so you can find that within the tweets that I'm putting out. I should also probably put that in the Twitch profile, but I'll do that later. But Twitch, eTalkUK for me, for that stuff. And Twitch is up... YouTube is up to date with the Twitch archive streams. You can find those and the Call of Duty clips. Lots of madness and fun stuff happening with that. You can find those by searching for Entertainment Talk Plays on YouTube. And hopefully... YouTube works for you properly, because sometimes it doesn't, which I did an episode about recently. But you can find all that on those places over there. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.